Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Well, visually impaired people naturally get a lot of their feedback about the world around them from audio. This week, we'll be talking about the voice technology, which provides that audio feedback to visually impaired people.
We'll speak with Pranav Lal about the technology and how it can be used to visualize data and provide the blind with an audio representation of the world around them. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Pranav Lal.
Get a light probe and a color probe with the voice. The voice can also detect color. You can match your trousers and tie before a business meeting by simply taking a selfie. Or rather, just point the back camera at yourself, and it'll tell you the color.
Not bad.
Wow, so when it tells you the color, you're saying it tells you the color in audio using the voice, or it actually has a color recognizer and it tells you this is light blue?
It tells you this is light blue.
That can be handy.
Yeah, especially when you leave two ties in your laptop bag and you're wondering, which tie do I wear now?
And we'll be hearing a bit more from Pranav in the rest of the show about how he uses this technology in his daily life, and we'll learn how this technology works and what it's all about.
And it has many, many more uses than just picking out your clothing.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
Mystic Access, providing assistive technology audio tutorials and trainings designed to empower and motivate. Products are created by the blind for the blind. More information available at mysticaccess.com, where the magic is in learning. Let's start by meeting Pranav.
Hi, I am Pranav Lal. I am one of the most frequent users of technology that allows anyone to perceive images via sound.
So we'll be talking about that later on, but first of all, maybe you can tell people a little bit about yourself and your background.
I work in the area of information security in New Delhi, India. Primarily a lot of project management, that sort of stuff. I have been a consultant. Right now I'm with a telecom major working on securing their networks and so on. Academically, I'm a master's in business administration. I started learning computers when I was in middle school and started my programming journey using Turbo Pascal version 6, I think. Many thanks to Borland for excellent documentation.
That must have been a while ago.
It was. the early 90s.
I take it you have a visual impairment. Can you tell us a little about that and how it came to be?
Oh, yeah. I am congenitally blind due to retinopathy of prematurity.
So we record our interviews well before airing episodes of Eyes on Success, and in particular, this interview was recorded before the following was announced. You may recall that in November of 2015, we did an episode about accessible comic books in which we announced that they were going to be holding a competition for comic book writing, and Pranav was one of two winners of that competition. So if you watch out this summer, you may be able to see a comic book that Pranav authored.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is the voice and how it can be used to help blind people envision what's around them.
Mostly what we want to talk about today was this voice technology that you've been working with. Can you give us an overview of what voice is?
Sure. The voice is a generic solution that renders any image to sound. So the image can be, you know, a dynamic scene, like you're standing on the high street with a webcam or on your mobile phone. It could be a static image. It could be a picture of a particle accelerator. Doesn't matter.
And how does the voice do that?
The way the voice does this is that there are three rules that you use to decode the sound. Now, I should add that you usually work with stereo input. So, going on that assumption, the moving of the sound in your head, which is the panning, will represent objects in the horizontal plane such that the object in the left of the camera view will sound in your left ear, the middle of the view sounds in the middle of your head, and objects on the right sound in your right ear. The pitch of the sound represents height, so the higher the pitch, the higher the object. And the volume represents brightness. The louder the sound, the brighter the object. Now, there are safeties here, so don't worry, you will not have a very high pitch or, you know, a deafening sound. There are safeties which have been programmed in, so that is not going to be a problem. Now, this is decoding, but the really interesting part is what happens when this hits the brain. Everything, once it reaches the brain, is converted into electrical impulses. When you hear these particular soundscapes, the impulses that your brain creates are the same as the impulses that you get from your eye when it receives images. So what the brain does is it says, wait a minute, I am getting visual impulses. I don't care how I'm getting them, but I'm getting them. So it re-recruits the visual cortex. That is the neurons that are meant for vision. It re-recruits those to actually start processing visual input. This has been tested using a functional magnetic resonance imaging and all of that. I'll give you links to all the literature about the voice.
Pranav, you said that you've never had any vision. When you use the voice, understanding the description you just gave us, do you get the sense of seeing, or do you not actually know what that is because you've never had the sense of seeing?
That's a very good question, which is open to research. Because I don't know what sight is, I don't know if I'm getting the sense of seeing. What I am getting is a way to access information that is purely visual. That is one. The second thing I get is the ability, you know, it's like a satellite. I can do remote access. I no longer have to touch things. That is handy, especially when you're walking in a building. You don't want to feel all the doors. Some of them could open and close suddenly.
So I take it you actually use this technology in your daily life. Is that right?
Yes.
And what fraction of the day will you be using this technology?
It really depends. So if I'm going to the mall, if I'm going to a new place, or if I'm, you know, I do a lot of photography. So if I'm going to some place that I know has greenery or any place with water, plants and things like that, or man-made structures, the use is almost, well, 100%. I'm still looking. But, you know, regular, go to office, come back, do this, do that. It is a significantly smaller fraction because, yeah, I have alternative techniques that I've been using since before I used the voice.
Because you can navigate and get around okay in places that you're familiar with. So you use your cane and methods like that.
Yeah, you don't really need the visual input. I am going to be trying to get more visual input even in those places because you discover so many things about it. For example, I moved temporarily to a location because our house was getting remodeled. Great. I knew what were the shops around me thanks to Blind Square. That was a great show that you guys did, by the way.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Blind Square is one of my favorite apps. And that's all right. But what I didn't know and what my sighted family members omitted to mention was that I lived on a tree-lined street. And that is something I only discovered using the voice.
And you wouldn't have known that with your cane if the trees were far enough off the path.
No, you wouldn't have known that with a cane. And, you know, so every walk is an adventure because, see, the streets in New Delhi are dynamic. Nothing stays the same. You don't know what changes, so it's endlessly fascinating. I mean, a walk to my local supermarket, for me, it's like a naturalist. You go down, you see that's that. Oh, this plant has changed its position. Or, wait a minute, what kind of vehicle is that?
Do you get a sense of how far these objects are away from you?
To an extent. I can't do it very accurately. My brain is still under trained to detect when I'll collide. But yeah, to some extent you get an idea because you're using one camera. So the typical setup is you have a pair of video glasses, which are glasses with a camera in the middle with a wide-angle lens, which is what I found works the best. And you have a computer connected to the glasses, and you're wearing bone conduction headphones.
Okay.
So that's your premium setup. And then you walk around getting vision.
Is the camera connected to the computer via a wire or via Bluetooth or what?
Wire cable, USB.
So you look like everybody else walking down the street with headphones and a wire connected to your pocket.
Pretty much, except for the camera and the funky glasses, but that's also becoming the everybody else look.
Well, and it's not like these are commercial products, so these are just gadgets that you've put together with people who are working on similar technologies, right?
Okay, these are commercial products because the voice has been designed to run on off-the-shelf technologies. There's nothing particularly proprietary about it. So the glasses are on eBay. You can get them on eBay. You take whatever computer you want to take. You know, if you're using Windows, you can use something like the Kangaroo PC, which is one of these really portable things. And Kangaroo is a startup. Or you can use your laptop. It doesn't matter. It's only in the last year that we had a dedicated Raspberry Pi device for the voice. So the individual bits and pieces are commercial, but the voice itself, it's free for individual use. And there is an open source version out there, which you can now tinker with.
Can you describe how big the camera is? I mean, some people have visions of having a camera that's as big as their hand in front of their head. That would be impractical.
No. You can use any camera, which gives you any webcam. Okay. So in my current setup, I have two kinds of cameras. So the video glasses, which is, let's call that the platinum setup, the camera is button-sized. It's like your shirt button. That's one setup. I have a second camera which I use, which, funnily enough, these cameras are used in ATM security, automated teller machines. But they're pretty small. It's a headband. So it's similar to a GoPro. So you take a GoPro headband, you stick this camera onto it. It's a square device with a little lens that protrudes from it. That works. Or let's say you have a webcam in the house, you simply pick up a webcam mounted on a baseball cap, which is what I did. It was a golf cap. And use that. It really doesn't matter. And you can custom build your eye.
So there are many configurations of this, it sounds like.
Yep.
Which operating systems support the voice at this point?
The voice works on mobile phones. So there is an Android app. There is an iPhone app, which is called Voice Vision, which sort of works. It's made by a third-party developer who doesn't seem to be updating it anymore. For operating systems, the voice works, I believe, right from Windows 95, Windows 10. It works on Linux now. It works on Android. And there is a web version which you can use on unsupported operating systems. So all you need to do is go to a place with an internet connection, access the link in a browser, and you've got client-side JavaScript accessing the camera and giving you visual feedback. And you can take it away once that page is opened.
So it sounds like reprogramming your brain to learn to understand these signals must take some time. How long have you been using such a device, and how long does it take to become familiar with using it?
Okay. I have been using this device since, I've been using the program since about 2001, which is for the first time when I got a laptop with a free webcam. I can say this with hindsight and with the research that has been done, you can get protective in half an hour. Now, not in understanding shapes, okay? But you can start using the technology as a light probe. Because if you go back to the schema, you have volume mapped to brightness. So if you need to check if your lights are turned off or on, you can go around with the voice, you know, with your mobile phone and do a quick scan. You have sound, then the lights are on. If the sound is not there, you know that, okay, lights are off. Very handy after you've had a bunch of sighted friends over for dinner.
So what you're saying is, like learning anything else, this progression of learning from learning to do simple things to more complex things, and it's a matter of how much time you invest on using the technology.
Pretty much. And people have had results in somebody in half an hour, some people in 2 days. If you're doing a research lab and, you know, you really want good shape recognition, I think people have taken, was it 3 months or was it less? It's in the literature somewhere, but that's a very systematic way of learning it. So, you know, the way you do, and I teach people how to use the voice, is you start with familiar objects. So start with your computer keyboard. We have a basic set of shapes, which are lines. We're going back to math class, so basic geometry lines, triangles, squares. The learning edition in Windows has an exercise mode. You can practice that. So it's a bit like learning a language. The more you do, the faster you learn.
Do you have any hints for learning to use the voice?
You can move it around. You can zoom. You can pan. So you may be able to figure it out. And plus, you know, with objects and when you're doing immersive usage, it's also about using clues. So, for example, you know, darkness is a dead giveaway for the presence of an object. Because if you have something blocking the light, you know that there is something there.
So after all of this talking, we actually received from Pranav some audio examples. And what follows is a series of roughly 1 second clips of various shapes. And these are best listened to with stereo earbuds or with good separation on your stereo speakers. So we'll start with a very simple shape. This is a horizontal line, and mind you, the voice always sonifies what it's seeing from left to right. So you will hear a constant tone. This next one is two parallel horizontal lines, so you get two tones. This is a line going diagonally up, and listen to how that's represented. Let's do that one again. You could hear that the tone was a deeper tone on the left at the beginning and a higher pitched tone on the right. So now he got a little fancy. And this is a pair of lines, one of which is horizontal and one of which goes diagonally up to the right. Now we have an X, which is basically one diagonal line going up and the other going down. And slightly more complex, a triangle, which has a horizontal bottom and then two other lines. So it starts by going diagonally up and then reverses and goes diagonally down. And Pranav mentioned that you could even understand the layout of a keyboard. This will take a lot more experience, but just to give you an idea of what a more complicated shape would sound like. And you can kind of imagine all those little rectangles for each of the keys on the keyboard. Let's hear that one again, too.
And there are lots more examples on the website that we'll give you in the show notes, so you can listen to those again or find some more examples.
Pranav, voice seems pretty easy to use. Can you explain to our listeners how they can try it out for themselves, starting with the Windows operating system?
Oh, yeah? You will go to seeingwithsound.com. That's all one word. You'll go here, and I think there's a button up there which says download the Voice Learning Edition. I believe it's under a megabyte in size. So you hit the button on the platform of choice, and you should be able to download it. You run it, and you accept the disclaimer, and off you go. If you have a camera connected, the voice will start sounding the camera view. If you don't have a camera connected, it will start sounding the default scene, which is a car park. And what you can do at that point is go to the file menu, no ribbons here, or you hit Control-O for open, browse to an image of your choice, and hit the open button, and it starts sounding the image. So that's for Windows.
Okay, what about Android?
If you are on Android, go to the Play Store, do a search for Seeing with Sound, and you'll find the app. The creator is Dr. Peter B.L. Meyer. You can download it like any other regular application and launch it. It'll ask you for a bunch of permissions, like for use of the camera, which you should accept. And that version can do a lot of cool things like tell you if there are faces in the view. It's got GPS functionality and things like that, color recognition. And it has a tactile mode as well, which lets you feel parts of images that are dark and those that are lighter and so on. The good thing is for Android, what Dr. Meyer has done is he's made the APK file available. So in case you want to sideload it onto, some of these tablets you get that don't have the Play Store, you can do that too using ADB. That's the Android debug bridge, and instructions again on seeingwithsound.com.
You mentioned that there's a version that runs on the Raspberry Pi, which is a nice, inexpensive, and portable device, and actually has a version specifically intended for the visually impaired. And we did an episode on that called Raspberry Vi a couple of years ago. How would you run the voice on the Raspberry Pi?
There is the dedicated Raspberry Pi device and the open source version, which you can pull down from GitHub. And there is a link to that on the Seeing with Sound website. Compile that for your platform and run it.
So I have a silly question. This is called The Voice, but it is not written the way people would normally write The Voice. You've got the OIC capitalized. Does that stand for something?
It stands for OIC. I see now.
Oh, how cute. We were trying to come up with what it might be an acronym for, but that's really cute.
Yeah, so if you're a speech synthesizer, you'll say VOIC. I just call it the voice to make it more human sounding.
I had missed that reference. That is cute. Is there anything else we missed here?
Yes, there is one thing that has happened recently, which is that the voice has got integrated with the NVDA screen reader in an add-on called Audio Screen. So what you can do now is, the voice natively can sonify screens. So if you're on Amazon and you're looking for a pair of shoes, you initially had to parse the visual clutter yourself. But with Audio Screen, you can navigate to a graphic, hit a keystroke, and have that object sonified for you. And if you have a touchscreen, you can move around the touchscreen and get some kind of tactile representation of the graphic along with the audio.
Well, that sounds like a very nice capability.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about the voice.
So if people want to find out more, maybe we can review some of the important links here. Where do people go to find most of the information about the voice?
The first place to go is the main website of the voice, which is seeingwithsound.com. If you want to read about my adventures with the voice, you go to my blog, which is techesoterica.com. That's techesoterica.com. If you want to look at the Raspberry Pi version, you go to aftersight.com. I think that's AFTER-SIGHT.com.
If people have questions, can they send an email to you, or is there a contact form on the website?
They can send a question to me through my blog. I have a contact form there. You can send a question directly to Dr. Maya. There is a mailing list for the voice, which is where we hang out, and you're more than welcome to join that.
And how can people join the mailing list? Is that on your website also?
That's there on seeingwithsound.com. There is a combo box on the website with the menu. So you go to the combo box, scroll down to user group, and join it there. It's hosted on free lists.
As usual, you go to our show notes and you'll find links to all of those resources and contact information that Pranav talked about. And there are also audio demonstrations of more figures that you can listen to and get an idea of how it works. Just go to www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for show number 1618. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about audio screen for NVDA. The audio screen add-on for NVDA is based on concepts from the voice technology that we discussed this week. We'll speak with Mick Curran, the co-lead developer of the NVDA screen reader, about how this add-on he developed can be used to help the blind see maps, colors, shapes, and more. And we will also include a demonstration that Mick did of audio screen in action. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-210-8094.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com, at Eyes on Success, or Twitter @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.